this week on the Upon Official Review podcast. The guys talk Flyers and their mini slump, the Sixers streak, plus the Phillies and the upcoming college basketball tournament. All that and your favorite segments, what's making Murdoch mad, the illegal procedure of the week, the tweet of the week, and Crossfire. Stay tuned.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, everybody. Podcast Nation. Official Review Nation. What's going on? Welcome back to another edition of the Upon Official Review Podcast. It is your boy, Ari, as always, with my boy Al, aka Murdoch and Magnum. You know us.
What's up, everybody? Hope everyone's having a good week this week, as always.
Welcome aboard. Podcast episode 11.
Number 11.
And we are just getting started and going to into March, man. So as we all know, this is a great time of year for sports, man.
It's a great time of year for everything. Let's face it. The weather's getting warmer. There's some good sports. March Madness, the playoffs, baseball. It's, you know, it's just beautiful.
It is. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Forget about that Christmas song you heard. This is the most wonderful time of the year.
Christmas is the start of the cold weather season. So, we're going to say no.
Yeah, not so much. Not once you get past the, 11, 12?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
it's awesome when you're a kid. Not so much.
Right.
Plus, you get a time off of school, too. Even in college, I guess you get off of school. But after that, it's like, so what?
After that, it's all downhill. You get a day.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you're lucky, maybe two.
Yep.
That is it. So let's get into some hockey action, man. The Flyers got a little losing streak.
Yeah, they've been dogging it lately.
Yeah, they really have. Four games.
Seven. Yeah,
the last game we lost 7-0
to the Rangers, who we've owned completely ever since we beat them to get into the playoffs last year.
That's right.
I mean, here's my I'm gonna go.
Let me throw some stats at you first. All right,
okay,
we lost on Saturday the 26th to Ottawa 4-1 with Bouchard and goal.
Yep.
Then Thursday March 3rd we lost to the Maple Leafs 3-2. Bob and goal. Versteeg did have two goals in that game.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
We lost again on Saturday
to Buffalo, right?
To Buffalo, who we're up 2-0 on. We were actually watching some of it, and Bob was in goal that day. And then smoked again, like we just said, against the Rangers 7-0 with Bouchard and goal. So
okay.
Not a good run.
No, not a good run at all. But it's really been the first bad run of them all season. I mean, maybe they had another bad dip, like, right off the get or something like the first 10 or 15
games.
Yeah,
they had three losses in a row way back in October.
Okay, yeah. I figured that because they didn't have, like, the greatest record through, like, the first 15 games. And after that's when they really started winning. But since then, it's been all positive pretty much the whole season. So, also, you know what? I'm going to throw the Thursday loss out because they stink with 4 days off. They've stunk for like 2 years now. You're not going to get 4 days off in the – well, I guess between rounds, though, in the playoffs. But I don't know. The playoffs is just a different deal. You know what I mean?
It's a different animal. It's true.
Yeah. So that's kind of – I almost expected it. And then Sunday's game, they had no gas left. And the coach even said they had no juice. Third game in 4 days. And it was a day game. So it started Thursday night. So it was really third game in 3.5 days.
Right.
So that's a lot. You know, three games in 4 nights is a lot, but three games and 3 nights in a day, you know, and an afternoon is even worse. So that's two of them. The other two, I mean, it's just, you know, hockey every year, and fans always forget this, and I used to be the same way, where I would completely overreact to all the wins, totally overreact to all the losses. It's a long season. It's an 82-game season. No hockey team in the history of the league hasn't gone through a stretch where they look terrible. I mean, it just happens that the best teams in the league have the worst at every team. So, you know, you shouldn't get caught up in it. And I know it's hard. Most of the fans do. Like I said, I used to do it. Eventually, I just said, you know what? I do this every year, and it always, you know, it just doesn't even matter. I mean, last year they were horrible going into the playoffs. They were 3-7 in their last 10, yep. 10, which means they were 2-7 in the 9 games before they finally beat the Rangers to get in the playoffs.
Yikes.
And they went to the finals. They got to game 6 overtime. So a break from playing in a winner-take-all game 7 for the Cup, you know. So I don't think it's a big deal, honestly. I don't think it's a big deal at all. It only matters how you play in the playoffs. And the Flyers have a team set up to succeed in the playoffs. They have a really deep forward, three lines that are really good and hard to stop. Six defensemen that you can throw out there anytime. Two goalies. You know, hopefully they'll switch to one goalie. But I don't really care who they choose goalie-wise. I feel like the coach, I think Laviolette's a great coach, and he'll pick the right one. And that's kind of my thing on it.
It sounds accurate, dude. Honestly, the hockey season is so long. We still got 17 games left. They still got the best record in the East, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think they do, yeah. Unless somebody just passed them up. I'll look it up. But, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, they're 40-19-6, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty good record.
That is a pretty good record.
And they are first in the East. And only Vancouver has more points than them. Detroit has the same amount of points. And, you know, they're two points ahead of Pittsburgh, which they dropped to the fourth seed. But we have two games at hand also. So if you win those two games, that jumps to 6 points.
Yep.
So.
Yeah,
I think they'll be fine. I don't even care if they keep playing, you know, average 500 hockey for the rest of the last 17 games. I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter. It's 0-0 once the playoffs start. Nothing that's happened before then matters at all.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at the goalie statistics. The goalie statistics are actually really similar.
Close, yeah. Exactly.
Boucher's got a 2.45 GAA, and Bobrovsky's got a 2.56. And they both have the same exact save percentage, .916. So,
right. Which is good. I mean, you know, that's telling. I feel like goals against average is a little more of a team stat.
Yeah, definitely.
Save percentage is more of a goalie stat. You know? I mean, because over the long haul, it's going to even out where, this team had such great chances that my save percentage in this game was terrible. But over the course of the season, the save percentage is kind of the number that, that's, you know, the goalie saves 91.6% of the shots he faces. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. The one thing you would like to see, though, is their power play percentage go up a little bit. They're 22nd in the league in that. So.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. I don't understand it. The Flyers always have, like, a worse power play than they should based on, like, the talent they have.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, like, 1 year in, like, the early 2000s where they were, like, number one in the league all season long. Until, like, I think Detroit, who always has a great power play because they have Lidstrom, overtook him on like, the last day of the regular season. We had, I think Recchi was playing the point on the power play that year.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, they always underachieve on the power play.
Yeah, that hopefully that won't bite us in the playoffs. I mean, they're awesome even strength, and they're even really good shorthanded. But, yeah, that it'd be nice to see if they could capitalize on more of those opportunities because that's huge in the playoffs. Anytime you get a man advantage because – penalties are down, so anytime you get a man advantage, that's huge.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Special teams are huge in the playoffs. So, that's one thing I agree that they need to pick up already. So I don't care about the losing streak at all. They'll snap out of it. They'll be fine.
I'm with you on that, sir. Let's talk some hoops, man. Some Sixers specifically, which we rarely talk. But I actually watched the Golden State game the other night. You know, and I catch him from here to there. I don't usually make him a priority because it's regular season basketball and it's the Sixers. But this team has been fun to watch, and it's kind of cool to watch them grow and mature. And, you know, we had the number two pick in the draft. We had Evan Turner. So when the season started, I was like, excited to watch him. Whenever you get a high draft pick, you're hoping he can be, you know, the savior of the team. And we still don't know if he's going to be an all-star. I mean – but it kind of – the Golden State game, Golden State, obviously your number is going to be skewed because Golden State plays zero defense, kind of like the Knicks.
Right. It's just going to be running gun.
Exactly. But Evan Turner had a 20-point game. I think he has 7 boards and like 2 key blocks, and there was a possession where he had 3 offensive boards. And the thing that was most notable was – he really looked confident, like he looked in college. And I watched him play in college at Ohio State, specifically in the tournament. When he hit that game winner, like the 36-foot jump shot to win the game?
Indeed I do, sir.
And, you know, he looked like he was, you know, he wanted to be the man. And he hasn't given that impression at all this season until this past game. So hopefully that was a sign of things to come. I think still his upside potential is somewhere around like a Brandon Roy. I don't know how familiar you are with his game, but
yeah, I mean, that's fundamentally solid. That's kind of what we've needed for so long. Shooting guard that, you know, shoot and actually be good.
Exactly. Kind of an all-around team player.
Not necessarily, but we need him to be good.
Yeah. He plays solid defense because the coach likes to leave him out there, you know, at the end of games, which is different. Yep. You know, for a rookie.
Well,
like,
yeah,
if it was some coaches, they would
throw the
young guys down. Yeah, they have. So, anyway, they're 8-2 over the last 10. They're 29-17 over the last 46. Now, they started out terribly. They started out with that 3-13 start, which meant most of us wrote them off after the start, but they've actually been playing really, really well.
I confess I completely wrote them off after the start.
Most of us did. 99% of the city. Here's the thing. Here's the question for you. Nobody's going to the games. They seriously get like 20, not 20, maybe, you know, 30 to 40%. They don't fill up the place whatsoever. Like, they have so many empty seats.
Yes.
Now, what would you say is the main reason people don't go to Sixers games? You think they need to be more consistent as a winning team? Do you think it's because we have so many good college teams to go see? Or the Sixers really just don't have any real – they don't have any all-stars. They don't have any star power to draw. What would you say it is?
Star power. League has been marketing – I mean, the NBA, like the front office of the NBA, has been marketing star powers for the last 20 or 30 years, really.
Yes. Yeah,
and that's all that fans want to see now. They've kind of done it to the point where that's what we want to see as fans. And without it, it's just – that, to me, it's a twofold answer. It's that, and it's also that they've been so bad for so long. So fans are a little slow to come back. And the other thing is, even though if you look at their last 46 games, winning 29 of those, if you prorate out that to over a full 82-game season, it's 52 wins. I mean, that's, you know, good record,
team,
obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that being said, they have absolutely 0% chance of winning a championship.
Exactly.
None. And I'm not even saying that to dog them, but look at Miami, Boston, Chicago, L.A., San Antonio. There's no chance they can beat any of those teams.
That's true. Yep.
And if they beat one of them, they'd have to go through, you know, four different teams at least three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not happening. And with the Phillies, the success of the Phillies, the prolonged agony of the Eagles getting close, at this point, I think as a city, if you can't win – how do you expect me to really care?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like one of these things where they have all these young stars, like say the Penguins a couple years ago with Crosby and Malkin. You know, the first year they had them, they weren't going to win the cup. But you knew that cups were coming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any sense of that with a Sixers team because they're still going to have to go through Miami. They're still going to have to go through the Lakers. You know what I mean? There's still going to be other teams that have three studs on them. Or even the Knicks. Look at the Knicks now. They have Carmelo.
They got two studs.
And Chauncey Billups. So, I mean, that's got to be... Chauncey's got to be... Yeah, like that's almost like a Miami thing. Because Bosch is not... That's not a big three in Miami. Let's face it. Bosch is a good player.
You're not sold on Bosch, huh?
He's a good player. He's an all-star. But he's not like a guy that's going to be an all-star for 10 years. He's going to be an all-star for 3 years. And he's just, you know... 10 years from now, you're not going to remember who the heck he was. He's kind of a player like that. You know what I mean?
That's probably true, yeah.
So it's like a big two and a half there. Now, obviously, the big two in New York are nowhere near as good as the big two in Miami. So I'm not saying those three are equal to the Miami's three. But I think Billups and – I know Billups isn't quite as good as Bosch, and it's different positions. But he's on the downside. But he's similar to me.
Right.
So, you know, it's just the Sixers have no shot. And they don't have any shot anytime soon unless they get lucky with draft picks or somehow convince some free agents to come. But right now, the team as it's presently constituted, they can't win a title.
Right.
Best case is an upset in the first round, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think between that and the fact that we have no stars, that's why you're not going to see fans in the seats. I mean, bottom line, you know, I hate to say it, but that's just the truth. So
Yeah. It is something to say for Doug Collins, who's made who's kind of brought back the concept of team basketball, because this team, you know, during this winning streak, they've gotten contributions from pretty much everybody. But you're right, it's a stars league. They've been marketing that way since Jordan.
And even like, I don't necessarily know, but I assume probably they were marketing Magic and Bird that
Magic
way too.
And Bird, exactly.
Before
my
time, I don't remember what the commercials were like or anything like that. But I would guess they probably were that too.
It's probably Magic and Bird. You know, they were the highlights of the league. Everybody wanted to watch them. But
yeah, if they weren't marketing them, that somebody was not doing their job.
No, they definitely were. Did you ever get a chance to watch that Magic and Bird documentary?
No, I never did. I one of these days.
If you ever get a chance, check it out.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah. I'm also excited about the Fab Five documentary. They're finally making one.
Yeah, that I'm definitely not missing for sure. I'm DVRing that sucker for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, I'm excited about March Madness. We might as well plug this now. Stay tuned, guys, to the Twitter feed and Facebook feed and everything like that. We're going to be doing a March Madness tournament. We'll be giving away stuff, at least a T-shirt. Maybe we can get something sponsored. Maybe we can get something else thrown your way.
And I've been told that if I win, I don't get the T-shirt. So I'm kind of bummed about that. So if I win, whoever's second gets the T-shirt.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to win. So
yeah. I've won a couple myself. I've won a couple office pools myself. So you're going to have to go through me.
You got no shot, son. You're going down. All right?
Bring it on.
Down the open.
Bring it on. It'll be fun, though, man, because every year there's, you know, one of those teams that bust your bracket all up. Last year was Northern Iowa beating Kansas. Oh, I think I had it winning it all. And then Davidson did it a couple years ago.
Well, let's not forget Butler last year, too.
That's right. Butler did, too. That's right. Butler went to the finals.
We're within a bank three-pointer, an inch from winning the whole stinking thing.
That's right.
Gordon, no, I mean, they weren't necessarily I don't know. They still qualify as Cinderella. It was a five seed, so somewhat of a high seed, top 25 team.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's ever heard of Butler. So, you know, I mean, tournament junkies, we've heard of it. But still, you know, how many times have I ever seen them play before last year? Maybe one other time that I don't even remember, you know what I mean? So,
yep. George Mason a couple years ago.
Yep.
So, yeah, stay tuned, guys, for that. That's definitely coming up soon. We'll probably be using CBS Sportsline. So I don't know if you want to go ahead now and get your CBS Sportsline, like, username.
Yeah.
You want to get
it's free to sign up. What we'll do is we'll have it out there either on late selection Sunday or Monday, the day after that, so of the tournament week. So look for it then. That's when it'll be up. By Monday, for sure, at the latest.
We'll shout you out in the podcast, too, if you win, so on and so forth. Good talking over the Sixers and everything. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We'll do What's Making Murdoch Mad, do some other stuff, and then we'll be taking calls soon. All right, Pond Official Review.
Last word in Philly sports.
That
stay tuned.
I know my parents loved me. Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready, yeah. For I finally heard them say, it's a different world. Ooh, and where you come from? The city is now.
All right, gang, it is the Upon Official Review podcast. Once again, back for your edutainment. And it is time for my favorite weekly segment, What's Making Murdoch Mad?
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, Murdoch. What is making you mad this week, sir? Let me know.
Okay. This week, people driving is making me – actually, I could do a What's Making Murdoch Mad every single week about drivers and how much they piss me off, because I hate – this happened to me the other day, and I hate it when it's a real – it's always a really long red light when this happens. It's a really long red light,
uh-huh.
and – The car in front of you, it's right up at the intersection, and literally the second it turns yellow, slams on the brakes, and when you could have easily made it through and the car behind you could have made it through without even blowing the light, and this idiot in front of you is like 4 feet away from the line, you know, where you're supposed to stop when it turns yellow and slams on the brakes. And then you're stuck for 4 minutes waiting for the light because the person in front of you is an idiot. I can't stand that. Oh, man, it makes me so mad. I wish people knew how to drive. I feel like the driver's test should be 8,000 times harder. People complain, oh, it's so hard. Yeah, right. There's a bunch of morons on the road driving that shouldn't be allowed. And it should be literally 10 billion times harder to get a driver's license. If I were king of the world, it would be really stinking hard. And only people that were actually good at driving would be allowed to drive.
I don't see
why that would be so bad. They can ride the stinking bus. I don't care. And if you wanted to drive, then be a good driver. End of story.
That's very good. I actually never thought of that before, but you're right. So many people.
Oh, there should be have to like drive around for like a week or something. Like, you know, at their expense. You know, it's driving's a privilege. You know, So I'm talking not a 5 minute test. I'm talking like 2 hours every day for a week. You know, on the road driving.
Yeah.
And then the driver can fail you for any reason. If he's had a bad mood, or if he just thinks, this guy's not really that great, you know, I'm just not going to do it. You know, it's just no questions asked. He can fail for any reason. It doesn't even matter.
So it should be like all-star teams when you're driving. You're talking about like no.
Exactly, dude. Plus, there would be less traffic if everyone was forced to take the bus.
Yeah, man.
Be better for the planet and better for me, since I would clearly pass this test with flying colors. So that's what's making me mad. Whoever does that, I hate you. Go die.
I like it. I like it. That's good stuff. Let's talk some spring training, sir. Some fightings. Okay. Well, first thing, Dominic Brown broke a bone in his hand, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So that's – can never predict injuries, but at least it's an injury now and not when the season starts.
Yeah.
So at least we got that. Also, Utley is – he's got what, the cortisone shot? Right.
Yeah, it went from general soreness to, what's the condition they say he has? Some kind of ligament, like some kind of
tendonitis or something like that.
Tendonitis. Yeah. So, and now it's like, well, we'll just rest is what we prescribe, and then it's like, oh, the rest hasn't helped at all, so we're gonna have a cortisone shot. So it's just progressively getting worse. And like I said last week on the podcast, my level of concern was a 3. That's jumped to like a 6.5 with a cortisone shot. We'll know in a couple days whether or not that actually worked and he's feeling better. If he's not, we could be in for a long rehab, kind of a surgery situation. I don't know. But it's every bit of news we hear is worse and worse. So I'm starting to get concerned. I hope Utley is ready to go. And if not, I hope they cut him open right now so he doesn't miss his matches. And they need to tell him to actually take the however many weeks they say you're supposed to be out instead of coming back 3 weeks early when he's still ready to come back because he's stinking stubborn. It's not for the good of the team. We need you to be good in October, not 2 weeks earlier in May. You know what I mean? We can hang for a couple months without him.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need him for the long haul. We need him to be completely 100% ready before he gets on the field. That's
exactly
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If there's kind of an operation kind of a deal. So
I'm totally fine. We're totally fine with the stop gaps we have, but we want Chase
Utley.
Yeah,
Valdez. I can deal
strength.
With Valdez in April and May. No problem. Once the summer rolls around, let's get Utley back in here. Let's let him ready to go. Let's let him be fresh at the end. Let's let him be, you know, capable of doing damage, which is what we need from him. So
exactly. Two other quick Phillies notes. What were you going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say just real quick mention Dominic Brown. I don't think he was going to make the team out of spring training anyway.
Right.
I think he always wanted Francisco because he's a right-handed bat. He's a veteran. And Brown would have been best served not being on the team at the end of last year, but they just kind of had a weak bench, so they were trying to win the World Series at all costs. Even though it might not have been best for him as a player to get one or two at-bats a week, where in AAA he could have been getting, you know, obviously four at-bats every day. So I think once he's back from the injury, there's no way they're going to put him right on the roster, major league roster. He'll be in the minors.
Yeah.
And if he lights it up down there, they may call him up halfway through the year or something like that. So I don't think we're going to see him till July, August, if at all. If Francisco's batting 280, you know, with about pace for 20 home runs, 80 something RBIs, they'll just leave him there.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that was just the next point I was getting into. Francisco is having a good spring training, so he looks like the front runner for right field.
Yeah, I mean, you can just pencil that in. There's no chance Mayberry or Delwin Young beats him out. He's going to be a right fielder on
So no platoon then? Just
I would say no. If maybe, like, they might sit him once or twice a week kind of a thing, but not every time a righty comes up. I don't think they'll sit him now. Usually right-handers are better against right-handed pitching than left-handers are against left-handed pitching also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less of a need with an everyday right-hander to platoon him to me than if it's an everyday left-hander, because lefties are really hard on lefties. I don't know why that is, but if you look at the stats, left-handed batters have a much – just take all the left-handed batters in baseball against all the left-handed pitchers, their batting average is going to be much worse than all the righties against all the righties.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
So I think, yeah, he might get spelled once or twice a week, but just to keep running guys in there, getting rotation going. And you could also spell Banez too. So you could get another guy kind of – getting pretty regular at bats once or twice, even three times a week.
All right, here's his numbers in his last, like, full season, pretty much. 2008, 121 games, 447 at bats, 119 hits, 65 runs, 15 homers, 54 RBIs, bats 266. You cool with that?
How many at bats?
447.
Okay, so if he really played every day, he'd end up with like 600 at bats. So
right.
he'd end up with, instead of 15, 20 home runs and,
right.
you know, 70 RBIs. I think he can do better than that in our lineup, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, if you look at his stats on the first half of 09 in Cleveland, I think he actually had pretty decent stats. I seem to remember he had like 12 home runs just in the first half like that. So, yeah, I can live with that, sure.
10
give me 20
hits.
Home runs. Yeah, 10. Okay. All right, so, you know, that prorate's about 20. I think he can hit 20 home runs with 80 RBIs in this lineup. That's what I'm looking for, 260 to 280, somewhere in there. I'd be totally happy with that. I'd be completely fine with that. So I think he will. I think he can do that with regular bats. I definitely think he's got the talent. He's not a superstar, but he's a good player. So
mm-hmm. One last thing. Baez actually threw a scoreless inning today with two strikeouts. So, I mean, it's spring training, but – if he could turn it around, that would be a nice little
benefit. That'd be real nice. Yeah, nice little bonus that no one's really counting on. I think half the listeners just literally had a heart attack and died of shock. a scoreless inning and Baez are two kind of things rarely said together.
You do not hear in the same sentence.
Exactly. Don't hear that too often. Not every day, for sure. So, obviously, it was against the worst batters on the 40-man roster of the other team. I'll say that, I'm sure. I have no idea who he was facing, but I can't imagine it was anyone that actually was a major league caliber hitter. But you never know with relievers. That goes year to year.
Yeah, exactly. They go to year to year.
I mean, they signed him for a reason. He couldn't have been as bad as he was last year, like the previous 3 years, or they wouldn't have given him any. It would certainly wouldn't have given him a 2-year deal. So, you know, obviously he has been able to get people out before. He just had a terrible year last year.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it'd be real nice if he could actually get some value out of our investment there for him. So.
Yeah, he's got a career ERA of 4.14.
Yeah, which isn't terrible.
Yeah, his best year was in 05 with Tampa Bay. He had a 286 ERA. That's too bad. Maybe
that's not going to happen ever again.
Yeah.
But
Probably not. All right. We got a phone call coming in. Hello?
Yo.
Hey, who's this?
Yo, this is Jay Floyd of Foulballs.com and PhilliesNation.com hollering at you.
How's it going, man? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, are we live on the podcast right now?
We are.
This is a beautiful thing. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well.
We are doing awesome.
Yeah,
how about you, sir?
I'm doing very fine. I like to drink only juicier. I saw that you guys were out on the Twitter trying to draw some interest, get some phone calls going on. So I wanted to talk to a couple of guys that are so sharp that Ginsu Knives have been renamed Upon Official Review Knives.
We appreciate the kind words, sir.
Sounds pretty accurate. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, man?
Nothing, man. You know, I'm all about baseball. You know me. So, you know, if you guys were talking about the Phillies, obviously I'm not listening live. I think you're recording it.
Yep,
but, you know, if you guys wanted to chat about some baseball and go Grapefruit League, you know, I'm all about it, man.
Yeah, man, we've definitely been
Phillies.
Talking some fightings today.
Absolutely. The Phillies, they walked it off today, I heard. Two run single in the bottom of the ninth. So, let me ask you a question. What do you, how concerned are you about the whole Chase Utley injury?
I think that's something that should be of great concern to Phillies fans all over the universe. Chase Utley obviously is a catalyst for the team. He's the three-hole hitter. He's been there for years. He's a perennial all-star on an annual basis. He's just a spark in the lineup. And, you know, without Chase Utley, the Phillies could definitely see some tough times offensively this year. Obviously, everybody's focused on the big four and the big names in the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You need offense to back those guys up. So, you know, if you can't score any runs, those guys aren't going to give you a W. So Chase Utley definitely would be missed if this injury is anything significant. Obviously, the Phillies as a club, they're trying to downplay it. Anybody that asks isn't really getting much of an answer. But right now, if Chase Utley doesn't come back, guys, the Phillies could be in some offensive trouble. And hopefully it is just some tendonitis, but you can't really hold the Phillies to their word. Obviously, they would keep something like that a secret if they were concerned, or if the doctors or Utley were concerned that it was anything further than just some aches and pains.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't really worried about it like a week, 2 weeks ago, but everything we hear is just worse and worse news. Now you got a cortisone shot, everything like that. I think it's time to start getting concerned, because if the cortisone shot doesn't work, he's going to have surgery. I can't see what else they're going to do. They said, oh, he's just going to rest and be better. And then it was like a week later, well, he feels exactly the same. Well, rest isn't doing it, so let's give him a cortisone shot. So I think we'll find out more kind of coming into the weekend to see how he feels from the cortisone, if that starts to help or not. But if it doesn't, I agree. We could be in a world of trouble offensively. You know, pitching is great, but if we're losing every game 2-1, you know what I mean? So it's definitely something we need to keep our eye on.
Just reading around the internet today too, I saw some blurs from John Kruk on Baseball Tonight saying things that he's been talking to a couple of doctors. He's been talking to an unnamed player that's suffering with the same issue that Utley's reportedly got right now. And, you know, the information that he's spouting out there is pretty much that this should be of great concern. If this was just tendonitis, this cortisone shot should have helped him by now. And there's guys out there playing with this issue right now, and they're active and they're out there on a daily basis, you know, on the grind already. And, it's Grapefruit League, it's Cactus League, but there's guys out there with this issue that are out there on a daily basis. So certainly, you know, preventive-wise, you want Utley to kind of rest it out. But, don't be surprised, everybody listening, that, if this does become a greater issue than the Phillies are letting on right now.
Yeah, it just seems like they're just kind of BSing us a little bit and just giving us what they think we need to know. And, you know, so I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully hopefully the cortisone shot works wonders for him and he feels much better and he's back playing in another couple of weeks. That's kind of best case scenario, obviously. But, it's definitely something to worry about. So I agree. Definitely. Yeah, what'd you say your name was again, man?
Pardon?
What'd you say your name was again?
This is Jay Floyd of the world-known foulballs.com, PH on the front and a Z on the end, as well as PhilliesNation.com.
All right. Cool, man. Definitely.
Yeah, PhilliesNation.com, to those listeners, is a great site. So you guys definitely check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gentlemen, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you again down the line.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being part of the show, man.
All right, gentlemen. Good luck.
Be easy. Later. Let's talk a little bit of college hoops before we take
March
a break.
March Madness, right around the corner. Exactly. This is the championship week, and next week is the tournament time, baby. Yep.
It is school tournament time, or conference tournament time.
Conference tournament, yep.
Yep. So, I guess Temple is a lock.
That seems like it.
They've been in and out of the top 25 all year, so they're probably a lock. The issue
them
is...
Them and Villanova are probably going to make it.
Yeah, Villanova might be on the bubble nowadays. Because they
think so?
Looked really bad in the last...
Yeah, but, I mean, the Big East schedule, I still feel like they're going to make the tournament.
There's a lot of teams coming out of the Big East, though.
But that's the thing. So many teams are coming out of the Big East that even, you know what I mean? It's more... Their record is more impressive because they're playing these monster teams all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the way I look at it.
Benefit of the doubt just because they're playing great teams
every week.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the SEC of college basketball. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just you have to play top 25 teams, top 10 teams every night. You're going to lose some games. Now, obviously, they have not been playing well, even that notwithstanding.
Lost six of the last eight.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's no excuse for that. But I still say they make it. Yeah, who knows? Maybe they won't. I mean, if they win a game or if they win two games in the Big East tournament, it definitely.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing for them to assure themselves a spot is just to win a couple games in the tournament. Yeah. So we'll be watching that. I think they're on
Villanova. To me, like, they're better than Temple, I feel like. If they played each other in the tournament, Villanova wins. So if Temple's going to make it in, you know what I mean? Even though maybe they have a better record, whatever. I'm not really sure what the records are. But, you know what I mean? Temple would be way worse off in the Big East than Villanova is. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't hang in that league. Nope. So, to me, you know, they should get the benefit of the doubt being in that league, definitely.
Yep.
You know, it's the same argument that they use in football, but it's better because 64 teams get in instead of two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it, using it when there's 64 teams and the small schools can win their tournaments and get it, and they're going to get in anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they need to make a little bit of a splash. If they lost in the first round, that definitely would hurt their chances. If they win one, I think that would kind of not change their chances. If they win two, that'll significantly help them. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, they definitely need to pick some up. I've watched them a couple of times this year. They are kind of the very, very backcourt heavy, you know, which is typical. It's kind of typical of a Jay Wright team. Jay Wright has always had really good guards.
It seems like in the NCAA tournament, last 6, 7, 8 years, that's what wins anyway.
It's dominated by guards, exactly, yeah.
So it's not a bad way to get in the tournament. Depends on what draw, depends on what teams you're playing. That's what it all, you know, what it all depends on. Depends on who you got to face. If you get a team that you can beat, you're going to beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some teams
play South G and, you know, get good perimeter scoring. And if, you know, their perimeter can stay hot, you know. If you have a small school, but if you have good shooters, you know, you just get hot, then, you know, you can take down just about anybody. So, did you get a chance to watch North Carolina Duke at all?
No. No, I don't really watch college basketball during the regular season much, just the conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament. It's like, the thing I love about college basketball is so many teams, the field of 64, but that's why the regular season kind of sucks because 64 teams, 68 this year, right?
Yes.
Make the playoffs, so it's kind of a meaningless regular season.
Mm.
It's worse than hockey where 16 out of 30 teams make it in. It's like 68 teams, you know what I mean? So cool. Anyone with a remote chance of winning is going to get in, so it almost doesn't really matter that much.
Why 68 teams? Like, I don't really understand.
Who knows? Well, they were talking about going to 96, right? After the tournament, they were kept saying, oh, they're going to go to 96, they're going to go to 96, and then they just went four teams up. So,
four is perfect.
I guess they're going to have, what, eight play-in games or four play-in games now?
What's the point of that, though? I don't get point of a play-in game to lose to a one seed.
Yeah, I guess it's all the one seeds are going to have to face a team that just played on Tuesday.
Exactly,
so
yeah. There's
like
no point.
Even more of a mismatch. They're not only tired, but also, they suck. So,
yeah, you were barely good enough to get in, and now we're going to put you up against one of the four best teams in the country.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be eight teams. None of these teams are actually on the bubble. All eight of these teams will have won their conference championship, so they just got an automatic bid. It's not going to be like Villanova or Temple maybe being on the bubble. Are they in or out? It's going to be an automatic, you know, some guy from the freaking, you know, Mountain West or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
some
the random whack conference.
Yeah, exactly. Some lousy team that has
the CAA
Marys or, you know, who's the 16 seed? I can't even think of them. But, you know, some terrible
team. I like Wichita State, the Shockers. I always thought that was a cool name.
That is a cool name. Agreed.
I looked up that Hilltopper, by the way. That thing is really creepy.
Right? Right? Yeah. I know. It's just a weird red blob. Like, what is that? That's the worst mascot.
No, it is. It's supposed to be, it looks like Grimace from Donald's
except,
commercials,
like, more blobby.
Yeah,
if that's possible.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous looking.
So. Let's take a break, man. We'll come back, do the illegal procedure of the week, tweet of the week, and we'll do Crossfire, man, which I'm falling in love with. So everybody, stay tuned. This is the Pond Official Review.
Last word in Philly sports.
It's us.
Pulling together, we'll make it right with help. boy's child.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Upon Official Review podcast. Hello. The official Upon Official Review podcast.
Except
officially.
Patience.
That's right. glad to have you back. Thanks for staying tuned. We appreciate you listening. Hope you're enjoying yourself. It is now time for the illegal procedure of the week. So, Ari, what do you got for us?
All right. Let's do the legal procedure.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so...
All right, so this week for the legal procedure, I am throwing the flag, multiple flags, at the Bengals quarterback, Carson Palmer. If you guys haven't heard the story yet.
Multiple flags.
Yes, multiple flags.
More than one. Okay, one's not enough.
Yellow
All right,
flags, fair enough. Red flags, multicolored flags, napkins.
Challenge flag, too?
Exactly, the challenge flag.
Challenge flag, just in case, Adam.
No, it's the soccer version of the red flag where you get ejected.
Oh, the red card. Okay,
red
I got
card,
you.
I guess. Okay. even like the napkin that Andy Reid's muffin is wrapped in, I'm throwing that. Everything is. Carson Palmer came out this week, if you ever heard the story, or last week rather, and said that he doesn't care about money. He says, "I got $80 million. I never want to play for Cincinnati Bengals again." So basically, just demanding a trade, or he'll retire essentially. Come on now, Carson. Really? Like, this is a PR landmine, dude. You. Yeah. Never, ever say things like this in public to a reporter or anything like this. It's just stupid. First of all, the fans always support you. You know, in Cincinnati even, the fans have super long suffering. They're the ones paying your salary, you know, essentially. They're going to the games.
Yep. Absolutely. They're buying your jersey.
Exactly. But for somebody to come out and say that, just... reeks of low class to me. If you want out, to me, you do that behind closed doors. That's somebody you go to management, you go to coaches, you say it's not working out. For yep. you to come out and say, "Forget money, I just want to leave," just makes you look like a spoiled brat. It makes you look like, you know, you're just fed up and you're spoiled. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't. I at some level, I sympathize because I would hate to be on a bad team like that. I understand where he's coming from. He's got all the money in the world.
It's one AFC North.
But then it's just sticking it to the fans that have supported you all that time and love the Bengals. You know, that's the problem. Yeah. If it wasn't for the fans, I'd have no problem with that. You know, with anything he's saying. But, you know, the fans are what this is all about in the end because they're paying everybody.
Yeah.
The reason the league makes $10 billion in revenues, not profit, revenues every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is because of the fans in the seats, the fans buying the merchandise. It's because of us. So
yep.
It just sounds like he's just kind of a spoiled brat. That's what he's coming off as.
Yep. I don't like it. I think it's lame. And I'm throwing a flag at you, Carson.
Good call, sir. I like it. I like
right.
it.
All right. All
so
right.
Let's go into the tweet of the week.
All right. Tweet of the week. I like the sound of that.
La, 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 la. Don't wait till I get my Twitter. Can't tweet me nothing, right? Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing.
All right, the tweet of the week this week is a dual tweet of the week. It is a retweet off of an original tweet. So both of these guys get props. The retweet was by PHI162, who actually met in person at an Eagles game. Yeah, real cool guy. And the original tweet was done by @SoundOfPhilly on Twitter. So check these guys both out on Twitter. Sound of Philly said, "I'm willing to go to jail for punching the guy that just said Subway has the best Philly cheesesteaks." And then PHI162 said, "I got your bail."
Yeah, who said that? Who are they trying to punch?
Whoever said.
Did someone somebody, actually say that? Or are they saying if someone said that?
Out, no, somebody was hanging out or was nearby this guy, and he said, "Subway has the best Philly cheesesteaks."
Out there, that person.
Out there, they. Exactly.
I feel like punching the face is not nearly as strong as a punishment.
I agree.
For something insane like that.
Yeah, seriously.
Subway doesn't even have a better sandwich than Wawa. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
That is
Subway outrageous. Shouldn't even be a business in Philly. There's Wawa. It's better.
I agree.
Why go to Subway?
I said this on
like
a Tumblr
have
account.
Wawa, mm-hmm. Go to Subway. I understand that. We have Wawa. Like, why?
Yeah, why?
Whatever.
Why? Why would you ever go to Subway in a town like Philadelphia or New York or anywhere where you can get an actual
good
sandwich?
Don't even tell
sandwich.
Me about actual Philly cheesesteaks. Are you kidding me?
Kidding
you get
me?
Better cheesesteak from any pizza shop in the
Absolutely.
Entire Philadelphia area.
Yep.
Delaware, South Jersey, every place around.
Yep.
And forget actually going to South Philly and getting one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
I don't even know why Subway would make it an option in the city. Like, is that that's yes. a joke. That's a slap in the face to me.
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. So both you guys, you get the tweet of the week props for real. Because, yeah, if matter of fact, if you ever see somebody ordering,
you kill that someone that said that. You know, murder's wrong, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
I can understand in that
also,
case.
Also, you know, and I'm not gonna pay your bail, but
no,
definitely
not.
Here's something you won't go to jail for. Just slap it out of their hand. If they buy it, you see them getting in their hand, just slap it on the ground and tell them no. No.
Yes. Bad. No.
How dare you?
You have to treat him like a dog.
Exactly.
Stay. Stay. No. Stay. Okay. Good. Good boy. Good boy.
Don't you ever do that again.
Yes.
Right. Probably going to be one of the first things, you know, when I have kids to teach them, you know, how, don't ever patronize a Subway in the city. It makes no sense. All right, sir. Let's get into the new segment, Crossfire, and let's fire away at some of the hot topics 6 weeks going on in sports. Sound good?
Yes, indeed.
Do it.
It's the ultimate challenge, Crossfire.
Crossfire, you get caught up in the crossfire. Crossfire, crossfire, crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
All right, sir. Question number one this week in Crossfire. This past Sunday, actually got to watch the end of the game. The Heat lost another close game to the Bulls, and they always seem to lose close games to good teams. I think the record's like 2-7 or something like that. Within like, if the game's within 5 points. So apparently, after the game in the locker room, there was reports of players crying in the locker room after this loss. Crying. Here's the question: crying, is that okay with you? Regular season game. What do you got? Go ahead.
No, that is not okay with me. That is an outrage. This is a grown man crying over a regular season loss. Are you joking right now? Come on. I have not cried about sports since freaking Joe Carter. That was the last time. I said, you know what? It's not worth getting this wrapped up. And I was young at that point also. I was not grown. You know, the only other time I cried was because the Phillies won the World Series. Like, watching the DVD, I teared up a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But not because of a loss, and never in a regular season.
That is your time, sir.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Great. Honestly, I'll tell you, I'll admit to you right now before you get into my question, the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers that closed out the vet. I had one little small tear fall out of my eye like that, like the Indian when people were littering that old 80s commercial.
Yeah. The Eagles just make me angry. They don't make me sad like that. I just get mad.
That was such a storybook year.
We don't have to rehash that. We know.
You know what I mean?
Know.
It was so
sad. We all remember. Enough. I don't want to live through that again.
What do you got for me? Hit me
Next
up.
Next question. Chase Utley, 32 years old. He's battled injuries for the last, really, two full seasons. Actually, no, 3 years because he broke his hand in 2008. So there's been some talk. I think Paul Hagan wrote an article for the Inquirer. One of those guys did. Is it time to maybe think about starting to transition him to left field? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd say, yeah. If he goes through another season where he is on and off of the DL and he is, just not in the game and not consistent and always hurt, you know, second base is hard on your body. You know, all those infield positions where you're diving and you're running and jumping. And, yeah, it could be time to start making that transition. So there you go. There's my 30-second answer. Utley, right. 2012, 2011, left field. I could see it.
Okay, fair enough. All right. What do you got for me?
All right, sir. For third question here, Madsen is – I believe he's got one more year in his contract, and this is Lidge's
last year.
This year
is his last year.
This year,
right? 2011 is his last year of his contract.
They have an option for Lidge for 2012, correct? Or 2011?
Correct, which they're going to decline because he's going to make scheduled to make $12 million. They can re-sign him, but they're going to decline the option.
Gotcha. So here's a question. You need a closer. You know, next year, who do you take? Madsen versus Lich. Who do you got?
I got Madsen. You know, a lot of people say, oh, he can't. He doesn't have the head for the ninth inning. He didn't have a long enough sample. He was putting too much pressure on himself. If he knew going into the season, you're the closer, you're going to get some rope like Charlie likes to give, he's going to be good. He has better stuff than Lich by far. He's younger. He certainly wouldn't be more expensive, probably would be a little cheaper. He just finished building a house in South Jersey, so he might even get a hometown discount because he wants to stay. He's been in our organization for like 12 years. Absolutely, Matt.
Time. Sounds good, sir. Really, you think he's got much better stuff than Lich, though, huh?
Much better stuff. He throws 97, 98. His changeup's great. Lich is throwing 92. Velocity. Yeah. Lich got the good slider, but the slider isn't as good because his fastball is slower now. So, Lich is still good. I mean, especially if he could pitch the way he did, you know, last year. But Madsen, as for pure stuff, I'm going Madsen.
Right.
For sure.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. What you got for me?
All right. I got, which Phillies pitcher is going to have the best batting average this year?
This is an intriguing question. I threw this one in there for fun. I'm going to go Cole Hamels. He's going to bat 225. And I think Cliff Lee is going to be close behind him, though. I think Cliff Lee is going to have a decent year with the bat. Maybe bat guess. Like, you going to take Cliff Lee? Yeah, I'm going Cole, and then I'm going Cliff. Cliff probably bat like 207.
I'd say Cliff because it's his first time around the league. The pitchers haven't seen him, so they don't know his strengths and weaknesses.
True.
That's my story.
Stick it to it.
Yep.
I like it. All right, sir. Here you go. 30 seconds on the clock. Jason Worth is quickly becoming the newest villain in Philly sports fans' eyes. So real quick, 30 seconds. Give me three more villains, Philadelphia sports villains that you love to hate. Go.
Terrell Owens, first thing that's coming to mind. Can't stand that guy. Cody Ross, just because of last year. And Rod Barajas. I know that Rod Barajas is not like a star player or anything like that, but I hate him more than I can say because he sucks so bad against for us and really against every other team, but he is Babe Ruth against us. Hate that guy. Oh, my gosh, I hate him. You know what? I'm going to take Cody Ross out and put Claude Lemieux in. Going old school on that one.
Oh, there you go. There you go. 30 seconds. Nicely done. Claude Lemieux at the last second. Very good. Yeah, I hated that dude.
Yep. He sucked. Oh, he sucked.
I even had a grudge against Giroux because it rhymed with Lemieux when he first got in. I don't know if I like this kid. Sounds too much like
Yeah, I know, right? Seriously? All right. The news is Tiki Barber wants to return to the NFL. Is that a good idea, a bad idea, or the worst idea of all time?
It's the worst idea of all time. Quick answer on that one. Tiki Barber, you're almost 37 years old, dude. What are you thinking? Running backs expire. They have a shelf life. They're like milk.
Of like 1.2 seasons.
Exactly.
Not even that. It's exactly. Not even a
Once
long shelf
life. Once they hit 30, 31, the drop-off is dramatic.
So it's like quick. It's precipitous.
Yep. It's like when a Hollywood actress gets pregnant. She just disappears off the map. Nobody wants to touch her.
That's horrible.
That's what it is, though. So Tiki Barber, hang it up, dude. Leave it hung up. I don't know. Maybe his new. Remember, This is going over my 30 seconds. I know, but he was married to somebody, and then he wrote a book about how, like, you know, it's hard growing up in a broken home. And then he divorced his wife to like marry like a 23-year-old intern at NBC. So maybe his new wife is spending all of his money. I don't know.
This guy, he's just tired of not being able to see himself on TV. That's the problem.
Maybe that.
Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. He was a crappy broadcaster. you know, as soon as he left the Giants, he told everyone that wanted to hear how horrible it was. Eli stunk. The coach was terrible. And then he went out and won the Super Bowl.
Everybody
and then he had some serious egg on his face. And now he wants to be back in the public eye. He's a diva. It's a terrible idea. I absolutely agree. He's just being a diva, and he wants to see his face on TV. Go away. Nobody's going to
watch.
Somebody's going to put you on a training camp, and you're not going to make the team, son. Sorry.
Forget about it. If Brian Westbrook and all those other guys,
Westbrook's 32,
yeah.
And he was same kind of back as Barber, except better in his prime.
Yep.
Barber was a better runner, but Westbrook was a better receiver, but whatever. Barber never had a 2,000-yard from scrimmage season, I'll tell you that.
No, absolutely not.
92 catches, never had that either. So
exactly. Make like a flat screen Tiki Barber. Hang it up. Hang it up.
Yep.
All right, sir. Let's get some shout outs and call it a night. Call it a week.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you.
What do you say? Right. Got any shout outs for this week?
Yeah, man. I'm going to shout out our boys at 7th and Patterson. That's the number. That's at twitter.com/7, THANDPATTISON. 7th and Patterson.
Yeah.
They're real cool guys. We met them this week, had a couple beers over lunch with them, and we're going to be getting together with them for some tailgates for some Phillies games this season, so look out for that. Once we get some details, we'll pass them along. And yeah, they're really cool. You should follow them on Twitter. They're good guys. They have a good blog.
Yep, and yeah, the 7thandpatterson.com is a blog, so definitely check them out. You will enjoy it.
What you got for us?
I got a couple. Gonna go ahead and give a shout outs to one of our fans, Carmen DMV, CARMENDMV, real huge Eagles fan, definitely entertaining tweets. Also another one of our followers, Smagley, it's SMAGLEE, real huge Phillies fan, definitely Philadelphia sports fan. You'll find her entertaining too. Check that out. Also, one of our newer followers, Hestadamus, that's Hestadamus, and that's going to do it for my shout-outs. Let's tell everybody the April 2nd game going to be at.
Yes, that will be the return of Cliff Lee, the first game. That's the second game of the season, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Lots of time for tailgating. We're going to be down there early that afternoon. Anyone else that either just wants to hang out at McFadden's for the game or has tickets, come out. Let's get together. Let's party. You don't even need to have tickets.
So if you want to just come on down there.
Let's have a good time. Let's watch McFadden's, watch the chicken pizza,
and yep. Yeah, we'll hang out. We'll talk sports. You know, we'll break bread together. It'll be good times.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Put in your calendars. We'll be there. Come join us. Come meet us. Say hi, and it's gonna be a great time. So yeah, come on out.
Absolutely. All right. Let's wrap it up. Let's put a tortilla on it. You got any final thoughts for us, sir?
You know it, sir. We got Cliff Lee.
We got Cliff Lee. What up? You guys have a good week, all right?
All right, guys.
Peace.
Later.
This time around, I'm staying at home, and things are gonna get better. Settling in, loving my wife. But then I got that letter. My black son, now each day my heart is getting bigger. Don't even remember sleeping with that lady, but I did. My black son, he's coming to stay. My black son, he's making each day the best that he can. Also, he's a ninja.